now to share his experience, strength, and hope with us, we have Ross.
Yeah! Hello, my name is Ross, and I'm an alcoholic. And it's 50,000 degrees in here, and I want to, like, run out. It's so fucking hot. Okay. But we're going to speak. We're going to let you all know how I got here. Okay. So, where do I begin? What? Okay. So, yes. I have 7 years. I got 7 years on June 18th. And I got sober at 17, so I definitely qualify for never having had a legal drink. And I don't know. I'm like really nervous because I always just get nervous when I speak, especially at meetings that I like. Like I just want to like show you all like how much I love AA and like do it perfectly. And it's like that's not the goal. I just need to like share my story. So, let's see what happened. What was like. I started using when I was, like, 15 years old. I got drunk on Halloween at a bowling alley in Manhattan Beach, and I was really concerned. Like, I was always super anxious and, like, awkward and had, like, a lot of energy. So, you know, like, when I finally had alcohol, I was just like, oh, I don't give a fuck. Like, I can, like, run around and dance, and, like, I don't care if people are looking at me weird. Like, it's fine. And I don't know, before I drank, I was kind of, like, concerned about it because I was, like, I don't know, like, people say, like, when they drink or, like, smoke weed that they, like, do things that they don't, like, mean to do. And I was kind of paranoid that I would do something gay and, like, everyone would find out. It would be this, like, whole scandal. But, oh, well, like, and that was kind of just, like, that was, like, one of my huge fears, like, growing up that, like, me being different, and especially the fact that I was gay, would be, like, something that would prevent me from, like, making connections with other human beings. And I also feel like that's, like, a huge part of my alcoholism is just this, like, obsessive thought that, like, I'm, like, not normal. Well, I mean, whatever the fuck normal is. And that, you know, there's some, like, goal that I can attain, but that it's, like, right beyond my grasp that I'll, like, never get or something, like social acceptance and like just being comfortable within my skin, like, you know, it's like that obsession. And alcohol did wonders for like making me not be as concerned about that. And I don't know, like I didn't like, you know, start like drinking every night and like being crazy, but like, you know, I started drinking like every weekend with my friends from Boy Scouts because I'm super cool. And yeah, I would like drink with my friend like Garrett and whatever, and we would like drink Smirnoff Ice or like Smirnoff in general. Like that was my first drink, like Smirnoff Ice. Like I thought it was super cool. It's like soda that gets you wasted. Like this is cool. And I was like super into it. Like whatever. And yeah, so, like, I was just drinking, straight West Coast and whatever. Oh, yeah, I'm from L.A., woo-woo, West Coast. Yeah, so, like, I would, like, drink with my friends, whatever, and then, like, eventually I discovered my friend weed, and that was, like, you know, it's AA, woo-woo, like, we're alcoholics, but, like, drugs are definitely in my story. Like, weed was my jam. Like, it slowed everything down. I'm kind of, like, anxious, like, normally. And it, like, provided that, like, ease and comfort, you know, that I was always searching for. Yeah, so I chased that, and that's kind of when shit got weird. Like, I started hanging out with, like, all the kids that, like kids I didn't even like. Like, and I actually kind of, like, made a lot more friends, which, like, made it confusing to me, and, like, it... not confusing, it made it like even more enticing. I was just like, oh, this like makes me like more popular. Like I feel like I have like a whole like preset like identity I can take on. Like let's listen to reggae, like it's all cool. And like Welcome to Jam Rock was like out when I was like smoking a lot. I was like all about that. I was like Damian Marley, man, yeah. And it was cool, whatever, blah. And like what happened? Oh, yeah, then I started, what happened next? And then I started abusing my ADD medicine. And I was like, oh shit, I can do my homework, get skinny, and be awesome. Like, this is great. Like, let's do this all the time. And I was just like, really, I don't know. Like, any new substance I found, I thought was like the solution to all of my life problems. And that was just like how it went. Like, it was like a whole new identity. It would like open up a whole new world of friends, blah, blah, blah. And I just chased that until my senior year of high school, when I started fucking up, and I went from like my junior year when I was like lightly abusing my Adderall and like getting straight A's to like my senior year where I had like a 1 point I don't know what, and it was just like, it was like such like a DARE commercial or something, like, you know, like, oh, he changes his friends, like starts like, you know, hanging out with a bad crowd, and like and it was just embarrassing. Like, I was so lame. Like, you know when you get that, like, stoner laugh where you're just like, ugh, and it's like, you don't even think it's funny, but you're just, like, all laughing about stupid shit. Like, I would do that, and, like, and I was just, like, lame. Like, so uncomfortable. Like, I'm uncomfortable now, but it was, like, next level then. And it was, yeah, so I just, like, was, you know, slipping, like, getting bad grades. And then I started getting suspended all the time because I would, like, leave campus because I just thought I had it like that. I was like, I'll leave if I want to. And I got in trouble, and, like, at one point they were about to, like, expel me on my, like, third suspension. And they called me into, like, the principal's office and, like, had me talk to, like, the school counselor. And she was like, I think you have problems. And I was like, yeah, duh. And like, and she was like, I think you have problems with drugs. And I was like, what are you talking about? And by this point, I'd like graduated to like doing coke and like thinking I'd arrived on another level. And like, it was, yeah. So like, I didn't, it, like when she started saying that, it like scared me because I saw someone calling me out on like the one thing that was working in my life being something that was actually like completely destroying my life. And so that scared me a lot, and I started crying, and I basically told her that I was smoking weed at the time. She sent me to a drug and alcohol counselor, and then I started going to Marijuana Anonymous meetings, which are like interesting. and you know, I related, like I you know, did that substance, but it was like not as glamorous as this here meeting. And glamour helped me get sober. I'm here to tell you all that glamour can keep you sober. So like I came into like my first AA meeting eventually after like this, like my like one of like 20 sponsors in my first year took me to like a young people's AA meeting, this meeting Ohio Street in LA. You should check it out if you're ever there. And I went to it, and I was just like, oh, this is cool. Like I saw people from my high school. Like, I was like, cool girls with the fun outfits. I was like, this is going to work. And, like, it worked for, like, 60-something days. And then I hadn't admitted to myself that I was, like, powerless and that my life was unmanageable. So I drank and used. And I did that, I like relapsed 3 different times, and it was really difficult. Like I didn't understand what was happening before it. Like before the relapses, I just like was like, oh my God, I just landed on coke. It's so weird. And the thing was, like, I wasn't like, when I would have that like secret impulse to just like call up like the homegirl Desiree and like, you know, go kick it. I didn't call like a sober person. Like, I feel like that is like the smallest, like significant, like difference for me in my sobriety. Like I kind of like something happened at some point, like after going to a lot of meetings where I just saw that like it's not about like being holier than now. Like it's like when I get to that wall where like I know I can't deal with what's in front of me. Like, and I'm like, I fucking give up. Like this is, you know, number one time to use, like I instead try to like turn to like AA. And so eventually after like the third relapse, like shit got weird. I tried things I'd never done before. And I like what happened was my mom read like an instant message, like an AIM conversation between me and my friend, where I told her like everything I did that weekend, and she was like, what's wrong with you? She like had me drug tested, and it was like this whole thing. And basically that was an important moment for me, because I learned through that experience that my using didn't only affect me. And like that was kind of trippy to me, because I always thought like my using was just all about like how I hated myself and like how I could like just like suppress those feelings. And it, like in that kind of self-destructive behavior, I like harm and hurt people around me that care about me. And so like seeing how like freaked out she was and like angry, it like scared me into like wanting to look at what I was doing to myself. And so from that point, I started going to meetings consistently. I don't think I had commitments for a long time, but I will say that like when I did start to pick up commitments, it changed my relationship to the meetings I would go to. I felt like more invested, and like, oh, like people would like know my name, or like, and it wasn't just like, oh, hey girl. Like it was like, oh, like, how are you doing? Like, I know your grandma's sick, like, and like real. And like, that's really important, because it's easy to kind of like disappear in AA and like just be like swept up in like fellowship and like, oh, like I'm good time, sober, whatever. Like, and I think like, oh shit, I lost my train of thought so hard. Where are we?
Real people?
Oh man. Oh, commitments. Yeah, okay. So let's talk about how like I was like a fuck up, or like at AA. Like I went through like a million sponsors. Like I could not trust anyone for like my first like year, or like I guess at like 9 months I like finally settled with this one guy, and like I was like in the closet when I got sober. Woo. And so it was like I definitely like took to that saying that you hear sometimes in meetings, that you're as sick as your secrets. I was like, I have a big ass motherfucking secret, like, and it's like kind of obvious. So I found a sponsor that I felt like comfortable like opening up that side of myself, and it was like a huge, like, I don't know, it was like a transformative experience, like finding a sponsor that you like trust and like can like share your shit with, and like, you know, do a fourth step with and be like, this is like all the crazy things I've done in my life, and look at you, you're not judging me for it. Because I think another big thing with alcoholism is that like we are like shame freaks. Like I know, at least for me, like I like if I do something I think is weird or like unacceptable, like I like will live in the shame about it. Like I'm like, oh, everything I do is wrong, I'm weird, fuck. And like the fourth step and like doing 10 steps also like kind of like cleared out that those engines for me. I have dry mouth. So yeah, like that helped a lot. And then, so I did my fourth step, and then I just kind of, thank you, girl, yes. Then I just kind of like chilled for like a couple years. And I don't advise that. Like I was like, oh, I'm in college, like I'm busy right now, the steps can wait, like life's good. And then I graduated and shit got really real, and I was like at my mom's house and like not having it. And then I like went through this phase where I like wasn't working for a long time, and then I did get a job, and it was really shitty, and I was like, I have 5 years, I've not finished the steps, and I'm miserable. And like, I don't know, I was like another shame moment. Like I had this, I was called on to speak this meeting. What meeting was it? Oh, this huge gay meeting, Plummer Park, that like was so intimidating. And like one of my favorite meetings, and like I basically like from the podium was like, I haven't done a 9-step, like, and it just got real quiet, and like and they were like, oh, she's not that sober, and I was like, fuck you. And water break. And so like that was like a big deal, because like that was like another one of those moments where I was like, you know, honesty is the best policy. Like that I feel like kickstarted my program in a lot of ways. Realizing that my time had nothing to do with like where I was at, like spirituologically, you know, like, it was good to know. I was like, you can have all sorts of time and be crazy as fuck. So just know that the work helps. Anyway, I like did the 9-step. That was real. It was like not even as bad as I thought it was gonna be. Like, you know, it helped me, like, I feel like it, like, helps you, like, forgive yourself in a lot of ways, you know, like, you're like, oh, I've done bad things, but, like, I'm not defined by those things, and, like, sobriety gives me an opportunity to, like, construct a new me, and that was cool, and, yeah, sponsees are hard to find for me. I don't know. People don't want what I have. It's, like, so sad. And so, like, I don't know. I'm on the hunt. If you want this, holler. oh, are we done?
No.
Oh, shit. I wish we were. Yeah, so work the steps. And then eventually, like, life got really good. Shit changed. Like, I don't know. Like, I started getting commitments. I, like, had one for a long time, and then I, like, was like, why not have two or three? And, like, I got a lot more involved and, like, saw how much service, like, kind of helps this crazy shit. Because, like, I can just, like, wallow in, like, what is wrong with my life. Like, no matter how good it is, like, if I gotten everything I wanted, like, I can just find some shit that's wrong. Like, why hasn't he texted me back? Why hasn't he texted me back, really, though? but whatever, we're cool. we're fine, we're at a meeting. anyway, yeah, so, like, shit, this is, like, the part where I feel like people just start, like, rambling about, like, how good life is, and it's really annoying. So I kind of want to stop and hear from you. Is that fine? You good with that? Thank you.